Have you come to worship His Majesty this morning? Yes. Thank you for sharing that. Beautiful. So my question to you this morning is, how great is your God? I'm not talking about how tall He is. You know, He might be a midget for all we know. He might be hundreds of feet tall. But nevertheless, just how great, how big is your God? When you look up into the night sky, in fact, are there any astronomers here today? Anyone in astronomy? I'm the only one? Oh, you gotta be kidding me. Mount Palomar is right here. But when you look up into the night sky and you see the vastness of space, I don't know about you, but I can't help but wonder just how big is God. How powerful is God. And all the more I wonder, just how is it that someone can come up with the idea that all of these things out there happened because of a big bang? Boom. Stars appeared. Galaxies appeared. Planets appeared. Earth appeared. Man was formed. And my question to some of these individuals that I've confronted in the past is, if we have evolved from monkeys or tadpoles or whatever you say we have come from, just how is it that we are not evolving into something better? You know what their answer is? Oh, another few million years, that may happen. And I'm saying in my mind, how sad. How sad it is that there are individuals who think this way. That when God created, but remember, the story began in Genesis 1:1, which says what? In the beginning, God. God created the heavens and the earth. So just how is it possible that the earth and the sun stays an average of 93 million miles apart all the time? You see, if it just came about because of a Big Bang theory, I don't see how, in my own mind, how everything stays in its proper perspective with each other. The sun, as I mentioned, is an average of 93 million miles from Earth. The planets, their moons, also staying in their orbits around the sun. Constellations stays in their order in space. The two stars in the constellation of the Big Dipper always point to the North Star, never elsewhere. Again, I wonder, just how is it all possible that all this evolved from a Big Bang somewhere in the cosmos of time? I think in Romans, if you have your Bibles, Romans chapter 1, verses 20 through 25 might have an answer as to why individuals think this way. God, through the Apostle Paul, says there in Romans 1, verses 20 through 25, he says, "For the invisible things of Him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even His eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse." Verse 21, "Because that when they knew God, they glorified Him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Verse 22, professing themselves to be wise, became fools. Verse 23, and changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like to corruptible man, and to birds, four-footed beasts, creeping things. Wherefore, God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lust of their own hearts, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves, who changed the truth of God into a lie, and worshiped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. So here, God gives us this explanation of just how individuals can come up with different ideas of just how this earth and stars and everything else in interstellar space was created. Would you believe that men of great intellect believe that one day the sun is going to lose its power? That one day stars are going to collide together? That one day, Earth is going to be no more. They're right about that, aren't they? But their explanation of how that's going to happen is different from what the Bible tells us. Okay? So what this is basically saying, what we just read here in Romans, is that man is putting God aside and allowing their own minds to wander. As Brother Rick mentioned in Sabbath school this morning, you know, the mind is very important. In fact, Paul tells us that again in Romans chapter 7, verse 25, I believe it is, where he cries out, "Oh, wretched man that I am." Remember that verse? And in verse 25, his answer is, "I thank God through Jesus that with the mind I choose to serve the law of God." With the mind, these individuals have allowed themselves to be fooled, to be misled, to even believe that all of these things just happen because of a Big Bang theory over billions of years. Getting back to the vastness of space and the question of where did all this come from, for myself, I find it easier to believe what we read in the Bible, right? As I mentioned earlier, Genesis 1:1, in the beginning, God. In the beginning, who? God. What did this God do? Created. Created the heavens and the earth. And in our scripture text for this morning, taken in Psalms 33, verse 6, it tells us just how this God did all of this. It says, by the word, by what? The word of the Lord were the heavens made, and all the hosts of them by the breath of his mouth. And the scriptures continues in verse 7, he gathereth the waters of the sea together as a heap. He layeth up the depths in storehouses. Let all the earth fear the Lord. Let all the inhabitants of the world stand in awe of him. Verse 9. Why should they stand in awe of him? Why should they fear him? It says, for he spake, and it was done. He commanded, and it stood. You see God standing somewhere, or maybe just sitting on his throne, and he's, I think I want some stars over there, and over there, and over there, and even up there. I would have loved to have been there to see that happen, to see God spewing out stars, galaxies, into the heavens, suns, moons, planets. Each one of them staying in their respective places, never changing or colliding with each other, as some believe would happen. And it has been said that for every galaxy that we, there are billions more out there that we do not see. But when this God created the heavens and the earth, our galaxy, which is referred to, anyone know? The Milky Way galaxy is home to our Earth. This galaxy that contains our Earth is about 100,000 light years across. Now you might ask, what is all that about? What is a light year? You see, when you take a look at what God has done in the vastness of space, an inch, a foot, a mile is too short. They have come up with the measurement using what they call light year. Light, as we know, travels how fast? Anyone know? 186,000 miles a second. How many of you would like to travel that fast? Because when you start traveling in God's cosmos out there in intergalactic space, you're not only going to need to be traveling at 186,000 miles per second, you're going to be needing to go faster than that to get to where you want to go to. So, traveling at 186,000 miles a second, in 1 year, guess what? You would travel 5 sextillion, 865 quintillion, 696 quadrillion miles. So you see how much easier it is to just stay 1 light year. This measurement, you can see, is used by astronomers to estimate just how far these galaxies, these stars, these heavenly bodies are from Earth or from the sun. They use that measurement of light year. And so traveling at the speed of 186,000 miles a second, if you were to travel from one side of the Milky Way galaxy, spaceship, in 100,000 years, voila, you would reach the other side of our Milky Way galaxy, of which is home to our planet Earth. Let's take a look at a couple of stars that God has created. One that is in my favorite constellation, Orion. It sits in the shoulder of Orion. It's called Betelgeuse. Some people call it Betelgeuse, but I'm going to say Betelgeuse. Okay? This star is approximately 427 light years away from Earth. Now, as I was reading through all of this, I was asking myself, just how are they able to establish how far something is in space? I mean, does anyone have a tape rule? 93 million miles long? I don't think so. But somehow they do it. I don't know. But that's not what's important this morning. This star was believed to be about 700 times bigger than our sun. And by the way, our sun Guess what? It's 109 times bigger than our Earth. Who doesn't have a golf ball this morning? You don't, okay, brother. Anyone else? Okay, where's Brother Amos? He has a whole bag full. Did you have one? Okay, we're not going to play golf this morning, but if Earth was the size of a golf ball, who did not get one? Brother Cleveland has. I think there was someone back there. Take a look at that golf ball. You see yourself on it? But if Earth was the size of a golf ball, the sun would be approximately 15 feet in diameter in relationship to the Earth. 15 feet, I'm 6 feet. So imagine my height plus 1.5 more of me. That's about 15 feet. That's Earth. That's where you and I are. God created the sun that is about 15 times bigger. 15 feet in relationship to this ball. 109 times bigger. You can fit It is said that you can fit Oh, I lost it here. But anyway, you can look it up on Google. How many Earths would fit inside our sun? And our sun, by the way, as huge and ferocious as our sun is, Betelgeuse is much, much bigger. You see, Betelgeuse, which is about 427 light years away from Earth, it's comparing this to the golf ball. If Earth was the size of a golf ball, guess how big Betelgeuse would be? Not 15 feet compared to this. But Betelgeuse, would you believe? Anyone been to the Empire State Building, New York? I know I haven't yet, but can you imagine Betelgeuse being 6 times the height of the Empire State Building? Try going to New York and putting your golf ball there on the sidewalk. And step back and imagine the Empire State Building and 5 more on top of that. That's how puny our Earth is in comparison to these things that God has put out there. It amazes me today that just how huge, just how ferocious these things are out there. They are put there by a God-breathing star maker. And individuals have the audacity to believe that somewhere out there, there are places where stars are born. Can you believe that? And there are even places out there called black holes that will suck everything eventually into it, and everything disappears. Well, Betelgeuse, it is so huge, that 262 trillion Earths would fit inside of Betelgeuse. Let's take a look at a second star. It was once known as to be the largest star ever discovered by man. It's known as Stevenson 2-18. It was first to be believed that it was 2,150 times larger than our sun. Can you imagine something that huge out there in space? I mean, you think, man, how crowded space must be. But yet, there is more than enough room for all of these objects that God placed out there. And as large as this star is, the third star, WOHG64, was the most recent star believed to be the largest star ever discovered by man. It's located in what is called the Magellanic Cloud. And it's believed to be a red hypergiant. And it's estimated to be the size of Saturn's orbit around the sun. Can you imagine something that huge? God, who formed these things, who breathed these things out of his mouth, made these things so huge. I mean, it's estimated to be 1,780,407,000 miles in diameter. Now, don't ask me how they established this figure. I don't know. But man has come up with a way of somehow estimating just how large these objects are. But can you imagine that as we look at all of how huge and ferocious these stars are, just how it really shrinks us down in size? It may cause you and I to feel somewhat insignificant in God's eyes. And if God is so busy tending to all of these stars and galaxies, does he have time for you? Does he have time for me? Sister Helene mentioned a verse this morning in Sabbath school, and I'd like to go there once again. That's Colossians chapter 1, verse 16 and 17. And let's see just what God says about you and I. It says in verse 16, "For by him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by him and for him." Verse 17, "And he is before all things, and by him all things consist." Now, I like the way the NIV puts it in verse 17. It says, I was reading from the King James, by the way, but in the new NIV, it says, "He is before all things, and in him all things hold together." What does this mean? All things hold together. First, it says God is our creator. Second, it says that everything he created is held together by him. And everything includes you and I. Just tiny specks compared to what is out there in intergalactic space. Would you like to know how I know that God is holding you and I together? Any people in the medical field? Anyone knows what laminin is? Yes, ma'am.
A white substance that surrounds the nerves. The white substance that surrounds the nerves.
Okay. All right. Has anyone seen laminin. In fact, if you have your cell phones, go ahead right now and Google it. I invite you to go ahead and Google it and see what it looks like. Tell me. Laminin. It is a molecular cell adhesion molecule. It is what you might refer to, those of you in construction, as the rebar that holds the building together, keeps a slab together. You ever wonder, well, if, when you hold your arm out like this, how come your skin just doesn't hang down loosely? Just what holds your body together? What keeps your face from drooping? What keeps your organs going moment by moment, 24/7? Anyone pull it up? What did you see? Yes.
Laminins are a group of glycoproteins that play a crucial role in the structure and function of basement membranes. These proteins are essential for various biological processes, including cell adhesion, migration, and differentiation.
Okay. Did you pull up a picture of it?
It's a cross.
Say that a little bit more evangelistically, brother.
It's a cross.
Can you imagine what is holding you and I together is in the beautiful shape of the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. So when it says there in Colossians chapter 1, verse 17, he holds all things together. He is holding. He is actually doing that. How important are you in his eyes? Just how great is your God? By the way, going back out into space, there is a galaxy that's 31 million light years away, called the Whirlpool Galaxy. One day, astronomers focused the Hubble telescope on this galaxy. And what do you think they discovered? In the very center of the galaxy, they saw a dark shadow in the shape of, guess what? You can go ahead and Google it too. A cross. So you see that all creation proclaims the glory of God. And you and I, with the mind, are given the beautiful privilege of doing the same. So are we proclaiming the glory of God as opportunity arises? Sister Helene shared, yeah, about, you know, going across the street. In fact, how many of us know our neighbors? At least by name. You know? Yeah. Each one of us should know our neighbor, as cantankerous as they may be at times. Okay? We have a few of those, don't we? But all the more, we need to pray, Lord, how can I share with this individual? And many times it's just by shutting up, right? Smile. Good morning. Have a good day. Whether we get a response or not. But this God who says, Pat, I will hold you together. Let me go to our last verse for today, found in Isaiah chapter 40, verse 26. It says, lift up your eyes on high, and behold, who hath created these things, that bringeth out their hosts by number? He calleth them all by names, by the greatness of his might, for that he is strong in power, not one faileth. So here is saying that God even numbers each one of these galaxies, each one of these stars. He has a, not only a number, but a name for each one of them. Can you imagine that? Billions of these things out there, yet he has a name for each one. And in verse 27, it says, why sayest thou, O Jacob, and speakest, O Israel, my way is hid from the Lord, and my judgment is passed over from my God? In other words, the children of Israel, as I mentioned in Sabbath school this morning, because of their disobedience, God's grace was removed from them. They're allowed to face adversity. They're allowed to be attacked by their neighbors that they were supposed to have destroyed. But because they did not follow God's commands, and going back to that verse in Romans, thinking their own thoughts instead of God's thoughts, they began to stop thinking, oh man, all this is happening to us. Where is God? Why doesn't he care about me? Listen to the next verse. Verse 27, Isaiah 40. Verse 28, I'm sorry. Hast thou not known? Hast thou not heard? In fact, in other words, my own simple language is, didn't you hear? Don't you remember what I did for you in Egypt? Don't you remember how I allowed you to cross the Red Sea on dry land? Don't you remember I fed you in the wilderness? Don't you remember I gave you water? And God says, have you not known, have you not heard that the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary? There is no searching of his understanding. He giveth power to the faint, and to them that have no might, he increases strength. Even the youths shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. And then the last verse, 31. Of Isaiah 40. I encourage you to commit this verse to memory. But they that wait upon the Lord shall what? Renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. So how great is your God? How great is my God? What will this great, powerful God, this star-breathing God, do? It says he will renew my strength. But, someone said last week, I believe it is, there's always the word but, or if. I wait. Wait. Wait upon the Lord. What does this mean, to wait upon the Lord? You remember the story in Mark chapter 9, when Jesus came down from the Mount of Transfiguration, he meets a crowd And they're all confused and mingling. And this man comes up to Jesus and says, "Master, can you please heal my son? I took him to your disciples and they were not able to heal him. But can you please heal my son?" And Jesus asked him a simple question. "Do you believe?" Do you believe? The father in desperation says, "I believe, but help thou mine unbelief." What is this father saying? "I believe, but help thou mine unbelief." You see, when we wait on the Lord, we don't always understand why or what we're going through at the moment. But what it does mean is that no matter what I am facing, I'm going to say, "Lord, help me to hold on to you." So this father, he was saying, I believe you, Jesus. I believe you exist. I believe you have power. But because your disciples wasn't able to heal my son, I don't know if you are able to." The unbelief. And for us who call ourselves Christians, follower of Jesus, do I believe that Jesus is able? This same Jesus who spewed out stars and galaxies that we can look at each night. This same Jesus who is so busy holding all of these things together. This same Jesus who says, "Pat, wait on me. Trust me. And I will give you strength." Just when you're thinking you're taking the last step, just when you're thinking you're going to lose grip, he gives you some more strength. And some more. And some more. And some more. And guess what? More. As I continue to wait on him, as I continue to trust him, to know that he is able to keep me from falling. He is not too busy. He is not too busy to tend to your or my situation. Jude verse 24 says, "He is a God that is able to keep us from falling." He is a God that is able to, as we read there in Colossians 1, verse 17, he is able to hold us together. But as powerful as this mighty God is, he can only do these things if we let him. With the mind, Brother Rick, I need to choose to let Jesus come into my life and take control. So this morning I ask you, how great is your God? Is he big enough to take care of every single situation in your life? Next Sabbath, I'll be speaking on the goodness of God. I'll share with you some incidences of just how good God is to each one of us. He is mighty. As we sang earlier, all hail the power of Jesus' name. Are you and I sharing this God? Every opportunity that is given to us, let's take advantage of it and share who our God is. There is no need to be ashamed. That's why I believe it's Hebrews chapter 4, verse 16 says, we can go where? Boldly before God's throne of grace. If you're finding yourself to be shy, go there. And his promise is in that verse, same verse is, you will obtain mercy and grace. Do you, do I, want to be an instrument in his hands? I want you to remember, every time you're feeling down, pull out your golf ball. Take a good look at it. Imagine yourself somewhere on that golf ball. And a mighty, powerful, awesome God who made you fearfully and wonderfully made. A God who loves you. We know that. But do I accept that at the moment I am facing adversity? Do I accept the fact that God is there or right here with me right now? Right there with you. With that sister that Brother Cleveland mentioned in Loma Linda. In fact, I need to talk story with you after about that. But anyway, let us not forget how great your God is. That no matter how small you may feel, you're the apple of his eye. In Romans 6, verse 22, we read, but now, being made free from sin and having become servants of God, you have your fruit of sanctification and the result of eternal life. Let's pray. Father, thank you that as we gaze into the skies above us, that it reminds us of just how great a God you are. Even though in size we are so puny compared to these things that you have put out there, we are the ones that you sent your only begotten Son Jesus to die for. Thank you, Jesus, for doing just that. To give us hope, to be with you through all eternity. And when we get there, we'll not only be able to stand before you face to face and cast our crowns before your feet, but we will also be able to soar out into the universes to see with our naked eyes, without the aid of any telescope, what you have actually created. So take us as we are. Mold us after your likeness. Finish the good work that you have already begun in us. In Jesus' name, amen.